I wasn't going to talk this morning, but just to bring this series of anything can happen to an end, and they say the reason you know that somebody went to Uffies is that they will tell you. We know that, and everybody says, and the reason we know you went to Hilton Rory is you tell us. But thank you very much for that. But this series actually started, if you don't remember, with a man called Greg Miller, who was one of the very few guys who had played SA Schools rugby and SA Schools cricket. There are only 12 guys that have ever done that in South Africa. He was one of them. And for 6 years, while my son was at school, I tried to speak to him about God, and he rejected me. And he actually broke some of the policies of tours going to church, because it's a Christian school. When they're on tour, they're meant to go to church. But he so despised the church and rejected it that even when they came onto tour here, they wouldn't come to church here. And then on Easter Saturday night at about 11 o'clock, I got a phone call from Greg Miller to say, can I join you for the Easter service? And if you remember, he sat in this chair over here, I sat over there, and the next week we started a series called Anything Can Happen. Even Greg Miller can come to church. And I happened to be standing around a rugby field in Western Cape 3 weeks ago, and a young man walked up to me and he said, hello Rory, I'm Greg Miller's son. And so that anything can happen was what God can do at any time with any group of people if we will trust him. And so we're bringing that series to an end now because we feel like we need to move on. And Stephen will actually preach online. He'll show it next week. We'll be online. Sorry, Stephen. But I just want to bring us up to speed about what has happened through this time, some of the miracles that have taken place. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my school, and it's not because I want to talk about my school. But in April last year, I spoke in Belito at a business person's conference about what God did with this building. And I just shared the story of the miracle, the supernatural provision of money, people sacrificing, gold arriving through single girls. And when we tallied it all up, the money was in. And people still to this day phone me and say, can we come and ask you how you raised the money? And I said, we never actually raised the money. I think God dropped it from the sky through a group of very faithful people and multiplied it like the fish and the loaves. And so anything can happen started with this incredible provision of this building through an economically dead time. And so I told that story. And a Hilton parent came to me, an Afrikaans guy called Andre Pieterse, and he put his arms around me and he said, I'm a stingy man, Rory. And the people of Pretoria, with the testimony that you shared today, the Afrikaans people primarily, have convicted me to be generous. And he sent that message to a farmer, Afrikaans farmer in Ermelo, called Morne Engelbrecht. And Morne Engelbrecht listened to that story and was deeply touched. And there's a big security company in Ermelo called Aksu. Got about 600 employees. They're like the mafia of Ermelo. But one of the directors has had 6 knee operations. Sorry, orthopedic surgeons. We're going to talk to you about healing. He's had 6 knee operations, and he had to come to Pretoria to have a knee replacement. And Morne Engelbrecht said, listen to the story of a group of people in Pretoria who raised money in COVID. And he said, ach, jy spot met my, my mat. And so he sent it to him. He says, nee, die ding is 32 minute lang. Not listening to a long 32-minute sermon. And he said, and ook is 'n Engelsman wat praat. So ek luister nie vir Engelsmanne. I met the owner of the security company. I said, how does your security company work? He says, very easy. When Afrikaans guys phone, we send them there as quickly as possible to look after them. He said, when the English guys phone, we just hold back a little bit until they get beaten up, and then we arrive and save them. He says, that's how it works. So I said, yeah, dankie oom. They call him O-Boss. I think Groot Boss, O-Boss, whatever your name is, we call you. So anyway, this guy, Wally, was driving to Pretoria about 8 weeks ago. This happened in April last year, telling a story about a building that happened 2 years ago. He was driving to Pretoria for a knee replacement operation, listening to the story of your faithfulness. And the lady who bought the gold and the people who gave up their holidays and the people who gave their cars to the building project. And he was driving up to Pretoria and he said, God, if you can do this in Pretoria through COVID, you can heal my knee. And instantly his knee was reconstructed. And so he came to Pretoria, had an MRI scan, and the orthopedic surgeon said, there's nothing wrong with your knee. It's been completely reconstructed. And so, yeah, thank God. So you say, Rory, are you preaching to us? No, I'm just telling a story of how we got to Anything Can Happen. So then he said to Monet, bel your Engelse Mikey, and bring home and say, Mikey's here not to, and I'll be key on bait psalm yet. So he invited his friends, 150 of them, for breakfast. Myself and Clint and Damien were the only English guys. They bought their coffee machine. They don't have cappuccinos in Ermelo. They have Vimpy. It's net Vimpy. That's the only coffee they drink is Vimpy. And 350 cappuccinos went out to this thing. And you know the amazing thing? One of the guys we took with us on the trip was an orthopedic surgeon. Just in case I'm trying to put you outside of business. And the B&B owner that we stayed with, she needs a knee operation. So she came to Pretoria because she couldn't get her. And she met with the orthopedic surgeon, and he's doing an operation next week on her knee. See, God can do anything, absolutely and abundantly anything. So I'm just taking you on a journey as we get there. This week, on Monday, I was in a meeting with Vadna. Vadna there is the director of Marriott Hotels, and we had a meeting with him and all the hotel owners of Marriott, and a young guy sitting next to me said, I'm getting married, and I'm getting married in court because I don't have a belief system. So I said, no, you're not getting married in court. Marriage was God's idea. I'll do your marriage. He says, but I'm in Polokwane. I said, there's no problem. So Monday I drove 250 Ks. I signed a piece of paper and I drove 250 Ks back, but I took 5 minutes to preach the gospel into his family. Tuesday, I did marriage counseling with two families. Why don't you stand, Rindy? So I'll tell you what, anything can happen. This is the mum who started the prayer meeting in Waterkloof High School with a few others. Now we see a revival. We see the headmaster sitting there. We see the teachers revived. We see the first team rugby players getting baptized. But it started somewhere with a prayer meeting. And then there was a group of leaders in the Waterkloof school. One happened to be the head girl. And the head girl came to her and said, would you pray with me for the year while I'm head girl? And she said, absolutely, I will pray with you. And so she spent the year praying with the head girl of Waterkloof High School. Then the head girl's parents joined this church. Then when they had finished new members, they have to have a FaceTime with the elders. So those parents and these parents had a FaceTime. They met together to join the church. Then their son and the head girl who she used to pray with saw each other here. But this goes right back to a prayer meeting with mothers and head girls. And on Tuesday night, I had this incredible ability or incredible privilege of doing the first marriage counseling session of these two families, the head girl and the couple who joined the church, and actually the doctor whose son it is, he once came here. He's an orthopedic surgeon, by the way. You advocates are free today. We're going to nail you doctors for a moment or two. He came up one day and he said, here are my hands. I give them to the Lord. And everything changed in his life. So God can do absolutely anything. Amen? Absolutely anything. And I haven't been on holiday because 2 weeks ago I was down in Durban celebrating the 40th year of the church that planted this church's history. All four leaders were there. We're all still in full relationship. And we all came up to the front. And the guy who leads the church now said, do you know of one church where there are four leaders that have led for 40 years and we're still friends? God can do anything. God can do anything. We're still friends. People flew in from America. People flew down from South Africa. We had all sorts of elders. They're all there. We're all still in a relationship. We're all still friends. And I had to make a speech, and I have one broken relationship in that church. Those people are in America now. I have one broken relationship in that church, and I got up and I apologized publicly on the 40th anniversary, because if we have to have a future together, and if anything is impossible, everything is possible for God, sometimes you have to say sorry. So I apologized, and I got a letter from his wife to say, I don't think it was an appropriate time to apologize. But that opened the door. She said, why don't you rather phone my husband and try and fix it? So I phoned her husband, I pulled across onto a curb in Pretoria at 6 o'clock at night, crying my eyes out, saying sorry to a man that I hurt 20 years ago. And as I was doing it, the gate opened and a 3CR member walked out, walked past my car, suspiciously thinking, I don't know what he was thinking. But he walked past and he walked back, and 42 minutes later, I put the phone down with a restored relationship. God can do anything. Why are we doing this, friends? Why, I'm just telling you why this series started and how the series is going to end. I wasn't off last weekend. Last weekend, I was with a man in this church whose 3 daughters were killed in New Zealand in a tragic family incident. You know the story. And then the court case finished, and that man decided to take away his psychologist and his lawyer and his pastor and his friend. And you know, if you look in the book of Acts, there's always a man, a woman, and a house. That's how the book of Acts works. If you read the book of Acts, there's always a house available, there's always a man in the right place, and there's always a woman. That's just how the book of Acts works. And this doctor's got a man who owns a house in a beautiful place, and he opened his house, and we all went there, and they catered for us. And the Sunday morning last week, while you were meeting, he stood up, and he spoke about the journey, because yesterday was 2 years from when his children died. He's sitting here this morning. He's inside of our church. Anything can happen. He should be a wreck in a ball in his house crying, and yet many Sundays he serves you coffee. He stood up in Ermelo. Now, you imagine in Ermelo, you've got issues, eh? Everybody in Ermelo has got issues. Everyone wants to blitzcoddle somebody else, and then another oak's done this thing, and he stands up in Ermelo and says, I'm working with God, but God has been good. He carries no bitterness. He carries no anger. He carries no unforgiveness. And the brother of his wife is also sitting in this church today, and they are still in relationship because anything can happen. Are you with me, friends? Do we believe that God can do anything at any time with any person? Do we really, firmly, truly believe that? If you just say sorry, if you just say please, if you just say give me another chance, amen? I say this at every single wedding. When you do a wedding, every one of you, I don't care what state your marriage is in, when you do a wedding, you make vows to one another. And I know in Pretoria it works slightly differently. You have this thing called die heel dronk in your maikies van die skool wat met jou raas as jy praat. It's like your friends come around you and you make the speech and they shout at you. I think it's like so stupid. It really is. I just think it's dumb. I think sit down and let your friend speak honor over his wife. We're not schoolboys anymore. We're not kids anymore. You say, well, you take on our culture. Yes, I am taking on your culture. Because marriage is meant to be an institution of honor, not of ripping people off. And I say this at every wedding. You invite people to witness your vows. That's what you do at a wedding. And you're basically saying to your friends, yes, there is going to be free chow, and there's probably going to be some brandy and cokes that flow for free, which is an incredible blessing, but that's not the reason why you get invited to a wedding. The reason why you get invited to a wedding is to witness the vows. And you are saying to the couple, the moment you say yes to that invitation, that for the rest of your life, you will use every resource that you have got to make sure that that couple can remain truthful to those vows. So I have a friend in Durban who committed adultery and is about to end his marriage. So I said to Clint, we're flying down on Wednesday. We're having a meeting with them, and I'm not going to debate with them. I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to enter a counseling session with them. I'm going to remind them of the vows that they spoke to one another. And I'm going to preach the gospel that we preached here about 6 weeks ago of crushed testicles. And we sat there and we preached the gospel. And they both started to weep. And I'm trusting that God is going to restore that marriage. Because I've seen 2 people commit adultery. 2 women. And if you don't, Jeff, maybe you've heard these stories. But I remember standing in the one man's house. And he took a spear off the wall of his house. He took a spear off the wall and he stuck it into his wife's throat like this. He stuck it into her throat and he looked at me and he said, you know what I'd like to do, Rory? I said, what? He said, I'd love to stick the spear through her throat. That woman to this day lives in guilt, shame, fear. She's sick. She's broken. She's an introvert. She's a hermit. She's finished. And another man in our church, after 5 or 6 hours of throwing his toys out the cot and throwing the lamps around the house and screaming and shouting and being upset, left the house, bought a white robe, drove back into his house and put a white robe over his wife. And he said, in the same way that Jesus credited me with righteousness from all my sin and all my unfaithfulness, I declare today in the name of Jesus, you are righteous. And that marriage is saved, and that marriage is flourishing, and that marriage is in order. Friends, today, put the spear down and pull the dressing gown out. Because anything can happen. Or we drag along with us the unforgiveness over years and years that makes us more and more bitter, more and more angry, more and more. Flew back on Thursday, went straight to a conference at King Price. My friends had an incredible conference at King Price. And then we got the news that one of our dear friends, one of our friends who was on eldership with us at Glenridge, one of our friends that celebrated the 40th together, his daughter's 23 years old. She is a beautiful, healthy, fit, charming, clever A student at UCT. She had a heart attack and crashed her car. And our friend from Cape Town phoned us and said, Roy, you've got to get here, because her parents got on a plane and flew to Portugal to go on holiday. And so Clint and I turned around, changed our clothes and flew to Cape Town. And as I got out of the lift in Christian Barnard Hospital on Thursday night, I got an SMS from my mate to say she's dead. 23 years old. And I walked into that theater with my friends, and this is our friend Tessa Dougal, who got down there, a beautiful girl. And I had absolutely no power. I cried out to God. I've prayed for that little girl for 6 or 7 years every day by name with 13 prayers. I took my prayer book, I put it on top of her, and there was no power. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And the family cried and people came in and people knelt. And Clint came and prayed. And by 2 hours, everybody left the hospital. I just sat there by myself. I said, God, we are doing a series called Anything Can Happen. Surely, God, you can heal the dead. You can raise them to life. And Clint went and dropped everybody off and he came back. I said, hey, bud. And him and I went and stood in that ward. And we cried out to God for I don't know how long. We just cried out and cried out and cried out to God. Because if I was God, I wouldn't take a 23-year-old person. But I'm not God. And on Friday, we just spent the day crying together and worshiping and honoring God and being silent and went for a walk. Just went for a walk. One day, his dad said, Roy, can we just go for a walk? His name is Chris. We went for a walk. You know Chris, the toy? I don't know if you know this, but there was a time. Are you okay? Sorry, am I rambling? We're building a family. And you say, Roy, but this is your story. It's our story. It's our story. It's what we need to know. There was a time when we did a calculation. And we needed 71,000 rand a day for this building project every day for about 200 days to finish the project. And that recording went live. And Chris Detoy heard about it. And the next day, into our account, 71,000 love from the Detoy family. They are invested in us. I want to tell you about Clint, hey? He stood on the side of that bed of that little girl. He said, God, please, Jesus. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know your situation. But I can tell you this. You have got leaders in this church that believe in the resurrection power of Christ. It hasn't worked out like we thought. But we're not going to stop praying. Because anything can happen. Anything can happen. So on Saturday, I do my firstborn son's wedding. I was reading the story of Abraham when he went to send a servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. And the first thing it says is they put a gold ring in her nose. So I thought, I wonder how I'm going to get a gold ring into her nose. How do I pierce it? Do I push it? How do I do it, you know? I said to my wife, babe, do you have any gold that you're prepared to give away? I walked into our bedroom and my wife was just sitting there and she was very tender. And there are only so many dyers in this world, you know. And in 1997, my dad gave my wife a bracelet, beautiful thick gold bracelet. It just says, Melzie, love pops. 30 years ago, as a welcome to the Dyer family. And my wife was holding it and she said, I'd like to give this bracelet to our new daughter-in-law. The reason why you gave gold, were you saying to her, if she's ever in trouble anywhere in the world, she can sell the gold and get home. And so in this house, we take our precious things, our holidays and our cars, and we sewed them into a building. And that building healed a man's knee from Ermelo, who touched another man, who opened the door of another man. And I don't know if the doctors are here that own the house, that opened their home for us to spend last weekend, but we've all got homes. We've all got little pieces of gold. And if we give them to God, He can do anything with them. And so next week, my wife will put that piece of gold onto her arm. Sunday, we'll have off. And Monday, we'll do the funeral of Gabby DeToy. And still, I believe anything can happen. I believe God can heal the sick. I believe He can raise the dead. I can believe He can heal knees. And He can use doctors to heal knees. I believe He can build a church in the middle of COVID. I believe He can save marriages where there's been adultery. I believe He can start marriages afresh. I believe He can restore relationships. Because God can do anything. I believe God is sovereign. I believe He knows the number of days that we should live. And I believe with our doctor who lost his three daughters, he will stand up here one day and give his testimony. And the things that you've held on to so dearly and so tightly, the things that have killed you and wrecked parts of your soul, you'll let them go that day. As a testimony of those three little girls who died 2 years ago yesterday. Say the promises of God. Oh, yes. And amen. We didn't say we're going to build a rah-rah church where we jump and shout and celebrate everything. We're going to build a real church where God can do anything at any time, even when we don't understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, from being in a ICU ward where I felt nothing. I did not feel your presence. I didn't feel your power. I felt empty. I felt embarrassed. But I know at the bottom of my heart, I still believe that you can raise the dead. You can raise marriages. You can restore relationships. You can heal every sin. It doesn't matter how dark, how deep, how debauched, and how long. I don't care if you've been sinning for 40 years. The Bible says that God raised a crippled man from his crippledness. It says he was 40 years old. 40 years of rubbish God fixed in one word.
I met a girl at the door today, Natasha. She said, Rory, I came from Dubai. I don't know where I'm going next, but somehow God sent me to this church. Thank you. Thank you for what? I don't know. Thank you for the group of people we meet with. Thank you for those who sacrificed. Thank you, Lord God, for those who got baptized today. Thank you for Stephen and his preach from Acts 17. Perhaps, God, perhaps we might reach out and God, perhaps. Thank you for Rindy, Lord God. She never knew when she was praying with the head girl. She was praying with her future daughter-in-law. She never knew.